T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm here. I'm good. I think.
Yeah.
Let me grab my own cell. Yeah, I'm good. I'm all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking?
Yeah, just checking. Make sure everything's there.
I'm Brian, cool. If you didn't listen to the shows this week, Brian was down at SEC Media Days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then his flight
almost
got delayed.
Friday.
Yeah, and almost Friday because his flight got delayed.
Oh.
So he got in late last night, but he was doing yeoman's work down there for the company, and you should be proud of the labor you put in down there, and now you're back grinding away. You are a champion.
I am champion. Not Kerry champion, just champion.
You are a
like,
champion.
Like Kanye, champion. No, I don't want to be him either.
Yeah.
Just champion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We are champions.
Yeah.
There you go.
Without
you
a
go.
Doubt.
Yes.
It's really weird looking at you. I haven't seen you in so long. It's like I can't.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I know. I got to be honest with you. I was like looking over at you. I'm like,
you
wow.
Champion.
This is bizarre.
It's bizarre looking at you and PDB. Y'all are damn near as black as me now. You guys been out in the sun.
Did Pete get tan? I didn't really know.
He got tan, yeah.
I didn't really notice that so much.
Yeah. He got a little color to him.
Yeah. I definitely got tan.
You definitely did.
No
look at you. Mikey B, I guess, is just staying in the house. He doesn't like the sun.
I got some color.
Where?
It's funny.
My
Spit
arms.
Said the same thing.
Did he's he?
Like, yeah, Spit said the same thing. We both came back from vacation. He's like, he got tan. You just look, ugh.
Yeah. What so happened?
You didn't get out in the sun? What happened? You didn't get a little color? I don't know what it is. Everybody's beating him up about not getting a tan.
I'm not beating you. I'm just pointing it out. put a little SP 500 on. You'll be all right, dog.
You're still black.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're still
got,
black.
Got a little darker.
Yeah,
yeah, I got a little sun down in Alabama. It was nice and humid. And last food shout out to the Southern Kitchen. Downtown,
oh, the Southern Kitchen gets
downtown
the mention. Yes.
Birmingham.
Nice.
And also went and visited the Civil Rights Museum. Wow. You're talking about disheartening to go and walk through that history of ours and all those naysayers when we have these tough and difficult conversations about today's America. Go check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see if you still hold the same views because a lot of those feelings still exist, unfortunately. But a great museum, and I mean, it's just amazing things people have gone through to get us as far as we've gotten in our country. So check that out, and then sat at the airport for about 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, but and also
speaking
last,
of struggles,
yeah, that was a mighty struggle.
Right. Yeah.
And I want to thank Matt Murphy down at our affiliate
Thanks,
in Birmingham for taking care of me every morning, letting me
hook him, by God,
hook him. He's a big Georgia Bulldogs fan.
Okay, all right. But, I thought maybe hook him horns,
no,
Matt
no,
Murphy.
No, Matt, but he would open the door for me every morning.
Oh, that's beautiful of him.
At 4:30. Thank you, sir.
What a wonderful soul.
Yeah, he's
Matt
a good
Murphy
dog.
Is. Yeah,
Bulldog.
He is a good dog. So because it is a time in sports where there's not a lot of games going on with the Major League Baseball All-Star break and a slower time in NBA free agency, the geniuses that are marketing the Mayweather-McGregor fight have made sure that they have been on TV every one of these days. And there is a phrase that was created by a man named John Hine called Jump the Shark that comes from when Fonzie was in an episode of Happy Days and was water skiing and jumped over a shark. And it was that point where
the
show had taken a turn because it had become ridiculous. And last night that happened with Mayweather and McGregor at the Barclays Center. We had some good audio. We played the first two times, and they were going back and forth. And even though I still feel like most of it is staged, it was at least somewhat entertaining. And last night was just flat out ridiculous. The two of them have run out, believe it or not. I can't believe I'm saying Conor McGregor's run out of things to say, but when you put him on for three straight days when he's insulting the same guy, he has run out of things to say. Neither one of them looked as interested in this as they were the other two times, and it really just made me think about how stupid this thing is again. And I have gone through stages of acceptance with this. At first, I couldn't deal with the fact that it was happening. It was a total money grab. I wasn't into it. Then I said, okay, it's going to happen. These guys are entertaining. enjoy the entertainment of it. Why not? It's not like I could stop this fight. It's not like they're going to stop the fight. Enjoy the entertainment of it. And then last night I'm back to, I'm going to be a sucker if I get into this stuff. Mm-hmm. And anybody who does watch it and gets into this is a sucker themselves. And I don't think there's really true animosity between these guys. It's a TV show. It's a reality show more than anything.
Yeah, and you would imagine that it'd be difficult to come up with some new material when you've seen the same guy for the last couple of days and the similar insults still abound. And you said it's ridiculous and I liken it to all the pomp and circumstance prior to the Super Bowl. And while that's not ridiculous, and I also liken it to the Kentucky Derby, all the pomp and circumstance prior to the race commencing, while that's not ridiculous, I don't watch it. I like to fast forward. Yeah, there's some great stories in both of those instances, but I want to just get to it. Can we cut to the chase? Can we cut to the race? Can we cut to the game? And that's just where I am at this point in time in life. I just want to get to it. And watch the game or watch the race, and it's the same here. And yeah, it's a spectacle, and there's a demand for it, though. I mean, you have 18,000 people at Barclay. They said they were selling tickets, which were free for people to get into that joint. So there is a huge interest in this, and the majority of people apparently were cheering for McGregor. So I think the build-up for it is everything that those who are involved could have wanted. Our friends over at Showtime, the UFC folks, this is exactly what they wanted. And I don't know if this is the last installment. Maybe you do, but it should be because it's tiring. You got Mayweather out there now throwing money at McGregor, and McGregor pretty much calling him the same thing he's been calling him since the first installment of this deal. So I don't need to see this. Let's just get it on, and hopefully all this angst that they are displaying here in these press conferences will translate to a good match in the ring.
And I don't think that most of the people that showed up at this press conference showed up because they're consumed with this fight and they think it's going to be a mammoth fight. I think that they showed up because they wanted to see Conor McGregor live. They wanted to see the entertainment man that he is perform in person, and it was close to, you know, whether it was Toronto or Barclays or wherever else, it was close to where they were, and I can go and see this, and this is a moment in time that I could look back on and be like, wow, you know, I was there for that. But as far as the fight goes, I mean, there's still a few people out there that'll say, well, Floyd, he's doing this because of the money, and he's older, and Conor could definitely punch him if he catches him, you know, and maybe he knocks him out. But most people in Vegas and bettors and the money, nobody believes that Conor McGregor can beat Floyd Mayweather. So it's still not about the fight. It's just, it's about this. And this right here, and the reason I believe that we've got so much promotion with this in something that I don't even think needs to be promoted all that much is because this right here is going to be more entertaining than what we see on the actual fight night.
Well, I'm hoping that, but both. For both, it's about the money, but they need each other at this point. And
oh, yeah, without a doubt.
And so I'm hoping it does translate to a very competitive match. I'm holding that hope. I'm 50-50 that it will occur, but this is part of the game. This is what McGregor does, and you've stated it numerous times. He's the best in the business, especially on the UFC side, at doing these things. And so when he runs out of material, the guy who's at the top
right,
in terms of promoting his matches, when he runs out of material, I think it's a sign that we should move on from this. You guys go back to your respective training camps, get ready, and hopefully put on a show for us.
It's the equivalent of a stand-up comedian having a comedy special on TV and telling the same jokes three nights in a row. If a guy goes on tour as a comedian, he goes from city to city to city, and it's new to that particular audience. This has not been new to the audience the last three times because it's the same stuff. And we always talk about money in sports because that's what drives everything. Everything in sports will end with the money conversation. But I think we have fallen short with most of these things where greed hasn't ruined it yet. It's gotten close. It's really made some inroads in ruining some stuff, but it hasn't really ruined anything yet. This, to me, is the best example of greed ruining sports because there's not a damn thing about this, in my opinion, that should be happening. This, the sports aspect of this, there is none. It's all about fluff and it's all about dollars. The other examples I would give where I'd say the greed has kind of gotten in the way of things is the NFL playing games overseas, the expansion, maybe putting a team in London. I don't think that's a good thing for the American NFL fan. I don't know how much it would hurt the game, but it just, that to me is something where it plays into, but it really hasn't ruined football at all. And also, this right here is the biggest illustration of how boxing is dead. It is dead. If boxing had any legs in 2017, you wouldn't need to do this. You would. This is the equivalent of grabbing the, what are those things called where you someone's dying and you put the paddles on their chest, right, and you try to. This is the equivalent of
Clear!
That in the sport of boxing. And it's right. Not going to work. It's still going to be dead.
In defense of the NBA or the NFL, there's not like you're going over to London and you have football teams taking on just the European version of football.
Right. Yeah.
They're staying true to their sport. And here you have a mashup. And as I said when this thing was announced, it's equivalent to Rocky III, Thunderlips, and Rocky. It's Hulk Hogan and Rocky Balboa. That's what it is. And yes, potentially it can ruin the sport. Let's hope it doesn't. That's why I'm holding out, once again, hope for a good match between these two. I'm hoping it'll be competitive, at least for a round or two. Can we at least get that? If they go out there and they're dancing around and everyone's very defensive, and we know that's how Mayweather fights, to his credit, he's damn good at it. But if they go out there and they're both defensive, and it's going to be boring. It's going to be another Pacquiao Mayweather fight. If that's what we get, yeah, it's going to be horrible. But again, how long will this stay on our minds? Because there's a bigger fight coming up shortly after this, right?
Right.
Triple G and Canelo.
And that right. made me think about that. That fight to me is a spectacular fight. I'm looking forward to that. I would spend my money on that fight and watch it and enjoy it. And I wonder, why is that not appealing or as appealing to the masses as this? Yeah, that's going to do a tremendous number. There's no doubt about it. People will buy Canelo Triple G. They'll get paid very handsomely. But why is this a bigger deal than that? Is it just because of mouths? Is it just because the fact that we've got these guys yelling at each other? There's a cross-sport thing. I mean, to me, sports fans are smarter than this. And I'm kind of surprised that you've got a fight between Canelo and Triple G that will be a spectacular fight between two surgical big punchers. But yet this is the thing that everybody runs to. And it's really disappointing. And personality, I think, is a big part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, in boxing, you have to have that personality to really be a great star. We've seen good boxers that people really respect and love to watch fight, but there has to be something different about the guy who is in the ring to become that ultimate star, and you don't have that with Canelo and Triple G.
Both of these guys are personable in their own right, whether you like them or you don't like them, and they are very adept at selling fights. You got one guy who's undefeated, 49-0. You have another guy who's lost a couple matches, but still, his confidence and his bravado never wanes, and he's excellent at selling and promoting his matches. So when you get those two together, you're going to have what we've had here the last couple of weeks. But did these guys come out and, you know, they're the supply, but was the demand there prior to these three press conferences in a row? I think there was a demand there, or they would not have entered into this agreement.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people were curious about
Very curious.
And that goes back to my point about boxing being dead. Because if boxing had the legs that it had in the past, no one would want to see this. And you think about at the height of boxing, you think that someone would want to see some stupid thing like this? No. Give me the real boxers. That's what I want to see. Give me this match, because I've been watching this guy come up. I've been watching him defend his title. I want to see that. Instead, we have, I want to see this. And it's disappointing. It really is truly disappointing. And I know that a lot of people are on one side, the Mayweather side. A lot of people are on the McGregor side. And then the discussion comes up of, well, you know, neither one of these guys is likable because of these reasons and because of those reasons. Do they have to be likable this is something that's funny to me, this likability. It was a column, I believe it was USA Today, I don't know, when I was reading all the websites. But, you know, it basically was saying, you know, neither one of these guys, it's tough to root for either one of these guys. And I'm like, but it's a fight. You know, we're not talking about anything but two guys getting in a ring and trying to beat the hell out of one another for money. I mean, do each of them have to be altar boys? Do we need to have a cardinal and a bishop in the ring in order for this to be?
Whose corner are you going to be in? Cardinal or the bishop?
I mean, honestly, I don't think that people really care about that. And if anything, you know, the good old, I mean, the person with the personality that would be an angelic-like wouldn't survive in a sport like that. People wouldn't like that guy. They'd probably hate on him more because he was too boring.
He's too pure.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. You need some marks on your record. What is wrong with you? I think it's both in our own right are loathed by certain folks. McGregor probably not as much as Mayweather because Mayweather has been so flashy about his money and his possessions and things of that nature, and that rubs people the wrong way. If you just focus in on the boxer that he is, the tactician that he is, you have to like his ability to go out and remain unbeaten. So I think you're going to have a little bit of both on both sides. And once again, McGregor is the dude is just he's so good at promoting himself and promoting the sport. That's why he's involved in this particular match. And I'm just sitting here and I can imagine this being a flop. And I just please don't make it a flop. Make this something interesting where everything we've said up to this point is moot. It didn't matter. Hey, they went out, and as tiresome as these press conferences have been, as boring and redundant as they've been, they put on a damn good show.
Yeah,
that's
but
what we need.
That's
to see.
Not how Mayweather fights, though. Unfortunately, in the
well,
way
that's why McGregor has to come get him.
Yeah,
bring
I know.
It to him.
But that's this is where I wish there were elements of the WWE in the actual event. I wish they could script this thing because then it could be interesting because I don't think that it's going to be. Do you hate, love, or are you indifferent about what's going on between these two guys and Mayweather and McGregor? I'm going back to hating it. I went from hating it to trying to enjoy it, now back to hating it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Gio and Jones just getting started. Keep it right here.
Hey, this is UFC President Dana White, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
They were terrible, and it's amazing that we're judging them based on their performances in press conferences, but we are. I mean, that's the point that we're at. I mean, it's almost like talking about a Broadway show, and you got them on their worst night. That's kind of what it's like.
Well, I said it yesterday. If these guys would get in each other's faces and grapple a little bit, even though I know the promoters don't want that, save that for the actual match, maybe I'd be sold a little bit more. I mean, I'm still sold. I'm going to watch it, and I've said that from day one. But these press conferences, they have grown old fairly quickly. But if they'd lay hands on each other just a little bit, you know, you don't have to mess up each other's faces, but maybe a body punch here and there during the press conference, maybe that'd bring you back in, that'd pull you back in. You're out. You were trying to get out, you're out, and maybe they can pull you back in.
If it's authentic, then maybe.
Right.
If it's authentic.
Yeah.
If it's another one of these things that appears staged, then no, it's going to make it worse. 855-212-4CBS. Lines are open. We'll take some calls in this segment. But Andrew Bogish is with us right now. Hello, Bogish.
Greg, good morning. Brian, Hoover, Alabama.
Even Bogish has some color. Mikey's the only one out. I'm sorry, man. You don't have to frown just because you don't have any color. You see his face. He's exasperated. Oh, because I'm pale. Oh,
I look great.
I didn't say...
I'll say it. You don't look great.
You look fine, Mikey B.
Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome, Mike.
Is that a J. Crew t-shirt?
I believe that is, yes.
I got the same exact one, same exact color.
Look at us.
Oh, look at
best
you.
Best friends.
Yeah.
I don't like that
little plum color?
I'm not going to be able to wear that.
I don't know. Well, you know what? I'll just text you.
Today's the day.
Well, next week is your week. I won't wear this for 2 more weeks. So you've got the next little bit.
Looks good on your tan.
Is that plum? Or is that more like... raw chicken.
No, raw chicken's not this
dark,
colorful.
Yeah, okay. I like that little raw chicken.
Maybe some pork.
They actually call that salmonella, yeah. That color. Yeah. What they call
it. Call that, it's going to be coming out of both ends.
Oh, geez.
Hey, thanks, Brian. So in Las Vegas last night, Lonzo Ball put up 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists in the Lakers' 94-83 victory over the Cavs, who were resting LeBron and Kyrie. This is Ball's second triple-double of Summer League. No one had won previously in the 13-year history of the Vegas Summer League.
Felt good. We got a win, so you know I'm happy.
And that win gets the Lakers into the quarterfinals, which apparently are a thing in the Vegas Summer League. The Knicks reportedly hiring Scott Perry out of the Kings front office to be their general manager. Perry took the VP of basketball ops job in Sacramento just 3 months ago, so now the Kings and Knicks are working on financial compensation. Perry would report to Steve Mills, who's getting bumped up to president, all of which has apparently led the Knicks to hit the pause button on Carmelo Anthony trade talks with the Rockets and the Cavaliers. The Knicks now may even try to make up with Melo and keep him. The New Orleans Pelicans reportedly met in Louisville yesterday with Rajon Rondo, while the Bucks and Derrick Rose said to be scheduling a second sit-down for maybe as early as this weekend. The second-place Cubs looking for a jump start out of the All-Star break. They send four prospects to the White Sox yesterday for lefty starter Jose Quintana. Theo Epstein now has him under contract through 2020.
We're really excited to add Jose Quintana. We've been trying to add controllable, talented pitching to this core we have. Frankly, I thought the chances of a deal were slim at best, really a long shot.
But it did take minor league outfielder Eloy Jimenez, a top five prospect in the game, and the Cubs' top pitching prospect in righty Dylan Cease. Manager Terry Francona is back with the Indians as they begin the second half in Oakland tonight. Francona missed last weekend and the All-Star game after a minor procedure to correct an irregular heartbeat. And for undisclosed reasons, veteran outfielder Colby Rasmus has stepped away from baseball. The Rays have placed him on their restricted list. FanDuel and DraftKings abruptly canceled their merger yesterday, days after filing their responses to the FTC's complaint that the merger would create an illegal monopoly. And it's the men's turn at Wimbledon, the semifinals beginning at 8 a.m. Eastern. Sam Querrey and Marin Cilic, then Roger Federer and Thomas Berdych, while Venus Williams and Garbina Muguruza prep for tomorrow's women's final. Gentlemen?
Muguruza is back.
She's back. I'm better than ever.
Yeah, and I am definitely rooting for her in this one, Muguruza.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I wonder why, Greg.
I wonder why, Brian.
No. I've seen enough. I've seen enough of the other stuff.
You weren't rooting for Konta?
I was for a while, but now the Muguruza's thing. You want a Konta? So what are you, a real estate agent?
I had never heard of Muguruza. Nobody had.
Come on.
Please. She won the French Open last year. That's your fault, not hers.
Okay, cool.
And she's definitely been involved in a Gio and Jones tennis pronunciation game.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I failed on that one. I recall that. Right. Thank you.
You want a Konta.
Konta.
Konta. All right. I used to have a relationship with New York City, the city that we do our show from, that was equal parts love and equal parts disdain. Mm-hmm. And now it has turned into about 10% love and 90% disdain. And this is one of those reasons why. Now, I love where I live, but it's 64 miles away.
Right.
And I drive a long way every day to get away from it. But the public transportation system in this city is the worst in the world. And there are mules that are pulling around people in third world countries that are more reliable than what we have here. And it was even dubbed the summer of hell for commuters because of the construction that is going on with certain trains. And then you also have the people. So you get the people and the trains together, and you get this story. So in Queens, which used to have a proud history that is now going right down the toilet, early Thursday morning, a 26-year-old woman is riding the J train in Jamaica, where she does this all the time.
Yes.
I'm on the train. This is how I get from point A to point B. She's a little bit tired. She put on some music, wanted to relax on the subway.
Probably not paying attention to the other patrons.
No, not at all. So she puts the headphones in. She closes her eyes to enjoy her commute. All of a sudden, she feels something. Splish splash on her face. Ha! What is this? This is a bizarre thing on my commute that I do all the time on this wonderful J train in Queens as a part of the MTA. She opens up her eyes and she sees a man, a 5'3" man, no less, wearing a red shirt and black pants, relieving himself upon her. The doors open. He runs away. The suspect is at large. But, yes, this man relieved himself on this woman's face on the subway. Welcome to New York, ladies and gentlemen, where if you can get relieved on here, you can get relieved on anywhere, I guess, is how the phrase goes.
That's the new phrase.
This, to me, is one of the worst stories I have heard about public transportation in my life.
And we've heard some bad ones. Pierre, I know, shared one with us a while back.
I'd take that every day. I'd take that one every day.
Yeah.
That was not relieving. That was pleasuring oneself.
Yeah, but...
It was bad. I'm not saying it's good. Yes. It's better than this.
True.
It's better than this.
Yeah, because the pleasuring didn't...
Yeah, right. You can stop right there. We understand.
Yeah. This is horrible. And please tell me they caught the suspect.
Not as of last night. Yeah, not as of last night.
Gosh.
I know. This is one of those. Terrible. I'm not a big fan of, like...
Start spreading the news.
Oh, man. I could put new lyrics to this, but I'm not. I'm not going
Start
to.
Start spreading your...
Yeah, don't you just can't do it.
Start spreading.
It's leaving me right now.
I'm not. Everything that's popping into my head is probably not FCC approved to be.
Or FTC.
I'm not a big fan of the eye for eye crime stuff. I mean, I think that's a little crazy when it comes to things. However, with this. I'd be all about that. I mean, I would want... I mean, what is this guy going to get if they catch him as far as a punishment? I mean,
how about a beatdown?
I mean, there has to be something... There really has to be... And I know that he's probably severely mentally ill. And sometimes with things like that, it gets a little cloudy, a little tough to deal with. But,
Let's get his mentally ill butt off the streets. How about that?
Well, that would be the first thing. And then
do what you will with him.
5'3".
Gosh. Please catch this.
Tiny dude, man.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
anybody know where Tiki and Tierney Bruiser Mike Samter was yesterday?
Where was Jack Alone? What time did this occur?
The CBS Sports Radio tape operator, Billy.
Hector.
Jack Alone.
Yeah, where were you, Hector?
Our IT guy. We got a lot of short guys around here,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah.
A lot of short guys.
Minko.
Yeah, John Minko, the guy that we were talking about yesterday, the update anchor, who mispronounces names left and right in a car accident this morning. Still made it to work, yeah. Yeah, still made it to work. He's out there. He's a trooper, man. Dude's a trooper.
Yeah, he is.
Nothing. Do you like Taco Bell's iconic chalupa?
I'm not so sure. So here's another crazy story before we get into some college football talk. And who's the better conference? I haven't heard that one before. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. So, ATM repairman is working on one of the Bank of America branch ATMs at the Corpus Christi location.
Down in Tejas.
Yes. Have you been to that particular location?
Yes. No, not that bank. Not that bank.
Okay.
But Corpus Christi, yes.
Yes. So, so he's working on the ATM, and he somehow gets stuck inside of the machine. Now, I don't know if this is the same 5'3" guy that was relieving himself on people.
Another money grab, G.
But seriously, he gets stuck inside the machine. I don't know if this is a pygmy Indian that has also now gotten an ATM. But
the qualifications to work for Bank of America and their ATM department.
Yeah, so he had to fix a broken lock on the door, and the lock got the better of him.
Yeah, I guess he did a good job.
Yeah, certainly. And he started with notes through the ATM slot from the other side, said, please help me call my boss instead of call the cops. This guy's boss must be really, like, in charge. If the first thing you're stuck at ATM, the first thing you say is call my boss.
Call anybody to get me out of here. How about that? But if you're the person receiving these notes as you go and try to extract money from your account... okay, this is a prank.
I would have left.
Be a prank.
Well, that's what the person said. Exactly that I thought I was being pranked. You know, where's John Quinones? Where is the Ashton Kutcher or whatever that show was? You know, what's going on? But they happened to take it seriously. The thing I was wondering, though, is the screaming inside. Would that not work? I guess maybe
I'd
he did do
the
that.
Hell out of you. Yeah, I'd run the other way.
Yeah, if you were in that situation where you pulled up to the ATM and you either got the note or you heard the screaming, what would you do at that point?
Give me some money, and then I'll call for help. Give me a grand.
You know what? I didn't even thought about that. That's that's really smart.
You
that's
want probably me to help you?
Yeah, it's probably what you should have done.
Stick some money through the slot, then that I'll call your boss.
That is a great point.
Mm-hmm. That's greed.
Yeah, now, I mean, I guess you can get in trouble when they start counting the money at that point, but at least you would have saved the guy at the same time.
You want to live or you don't?
Well, maybe you just don't even tell any. Well, no, because they had to have someone come and get him out. Yeah, well, you just got to plead ignorance at that point.
Disconnect the camera and slip me a grand.
Give me all the money in that ATM and I'll help you. And then if you're the guy inside, do you wait for the next person to come to the ATM?
We're going to find out if you're really a company man.
I don't have a lot of these like major fears and stuff, but claustrophobia is one of those things.
Yes.
When I'm not in control of getting out of a tight space where it may or when it's hot, especially when it's warm, you don't feel like the oxygen is flowing. That is a total nightmare of mine.
I'm like that in small cars. Definitely. Ugh. Very claustrophobic. We've talked about it numerous times, being at the bottom of a pile in football. No. Just freaks me out thinking about it.
Yeah, I would have done anything to get out of it. Well, maybe not anything, but almost anything. What would you have done to get out of that?
Your options are probably only what the guy did.
Yeah.
Slip notes through there. I guess he had a pen on him or a pencil.
Right. He's able to write paper notes. And everything. Yeah. Came equipped.
I mean, you hear someone yelling from an ATM, you're running.
Hey, I know.
Did I hear some?
Yeah.
I know it was a good night, but damn, the ATM is talking to me.
Yeah, right. You're back again, Brian? Damn.
Yeah, I just need a few more ones.
Jeez. I didn't even know there were that many strip clubs in this town.
Oh, shut up. Come on. I'm not about that life.
It's only $500 that you can take out at a time.
We're going to need a little bit more than that.
Stop me. Jeez. All right. Coming up next, going to talk some college football, the ACC versus the SEC versus the Big Ten versus the Pac-12 versus the Pac-12.
Who's better?
Coming up next.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here, though. You're gonna hey, I'm brat.
Nah, that's the problem.
Can you get a dolphin to call him?
Hey, what it is, man? You know what's happening. We're in the building.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
You know what it is, man? It's me, James, Gio, and Charles. You know what I mean?
Brat, brat. Yeah.
Maybe
if you said that, him, he'd be on the show already.
Listen, man, you got to get street with him, dog. Listen, dog, I call you a number of times. You better call me back. We got to have you on the show, all right? You know what I'm saying?
Do you ever, has it just been email, or do you have a number for them?
I have a number, not answering.
Okay, not answering. Can you call them on the air right now, and then we'll leave a message?
Yeah,
I can, yes.
All right.
I have to check. They might be in California, so I have to double check on the time.
So it's one person you talk with?
Well, they won't pick up. They won't pick up.
All right, let me check.
They're probably still up.
Yeah, so
they're probably rolling one right now.
And then we'll leave the message. Yeah. We'll leave the message and in our own way ask them. We'll go, brat, brat. And then we'll... Yeah. And then watch, that's what'll happen. They'll come right on. All right, so to work on that, we'll get to that a little bit later in the program.
Whoa. Wow. Where can I hear you? Oh, is he just talking to you?
No, he was telling me why he's having a computer issue as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I come back. Everything's working fine in Birmingham.
I know.
Come back here. Nothing works.
It's this damn racist technology we have here. Don't want to work.
Well, it's hitting Mikey B too.
Well, I know, but it's because you're back.
Oh, it's because
it's rebelling against all of us.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right. Things felt right the last few days. And now the monkey wrench has been back in the mix.
PDB and Bogus were just dark enough. And then I had to cross the line, right?
You know, one of the things we always joke about how, you know, obviously racism is a serious thing, but how stupid some of it can be, too.
Oh, it's very stupid.
And one of my favorite examples of that is how white folks like myself will try to get as tan as possible, try to get their skin as dark as possible when the weather's warm. But there's many people who do that who don't like people with black skin.
Right.
How does that make any sense?
How stupid is it?
Did someone explain that to me? Lay out in the sun. I need to be darker, 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 darker. But if you're a black person, get out of here.
Yeah.
Come on. What? Come on, please.
Hey, I've been trying to figure that one out for a long, long time. And I'm the colored one. Yo, ass out there catching skin cancer.
It's amazing. I mean, it's the dumbest thing we do. Racism is the dumbest thing we do as humans. Anyway, moving on to college football.
Oh, what a segue.
Let's listen to Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher, haven't heard from him in a while. And he's talking conference dominance in college football. Who's the best? And who do you think he said?
I think we've established ourselves as, I think, the premier conference in college football. I think we've what we've accomplished in the last few years and the things we've been able to do as a conference and the commitment that our conference has made and the schools in this conference have made with the coaches, the players, and everything that goes with it. Very proud to be a part of this and very challenging at the same time.
Okay. Oh, slow down.
Yeah.
Take a breath, dog.
I think we're going to sample sales. They're going to go to the SEC. Going to the national years. We'll be able to do an SEC. You're going to go to the dominance. Going to be along the little SEC. Going to the little souls.
I think the premier conference in college football. I think we've what we've accomplished in the last few years and the things we've been able to do as a conference.
Next question.
So I think you answered all of them, Coach, in one fell swoop right there.
Football.
Well, and they have a leg to stand on. They had a great – everyone points to the bowl records, and while it's disjointed as far as the games and how much practice time you have leading up to your particular bowl and who's – suspended, who's hurt, yada, yada, yada. But everyone looks at that bold record and say, well, this conference went 9-3. This conference was 1-3 or 3-9. And I don't know if that's the correct barometer to use when you're trying to identify which conference is the best. That being said, ACC now, 2 years in a row, they've had a participant, the same participant in the title game, and they're 1-1 in that title game. They now possess the coveted national title trophy, and you have teams in that conference that have played damn well. Florida State, it was actually a down year, I think, for them. You look at Clemson, Florida State, they're the bell cows in that conference. You have the de facto Notre Dame participant in the conference who really had an awful year. But if they want to lean on that bowl record and say – that's the reason we're the premier conference. Fine. Yes, you have the national title currently, and you've played well going up against other conferences in the polls. But I don't think it's deep enough.
You can't be the best conference. Mm. Yes, it's a great conference. They should be happy where they are. They don't have to be the best to think that that they're good or be happy with their standing. Yes, the top heavy, the national championships, we talked about Florida State and Clemson, no doubt. But you cannot be the best conference in college football when you have an entire division that has basically been a joke now for years. Now, if Virginia Tech and Miami can get back to like top 10 type discussion schools and programs, then maybe. But the ACC Coastal is filled with pure mediocrity, and it's been for years now. And that to me is, I mean, Duke went to the ACC championship game out of the Coastal a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to say that that is, I mean, some people might say that's an illustration of the fact that the conference is good if Duke can do that, but no, it's not. I mean, these programs like Virginia Tech, Miami, Pitt's got to get back there, North Carolina, Virginia. I mean, these are the schools and then also to talk about Wake Forest in the Atlantic. Everybody's going to have one or two of these schools, and that's the difference with the SEC and the ACC to me. You might have one or two, not an entire division in your conference. It's not taken seriously.
Well, Miami's on the rise. I think Vitek, they're on the rise as well. With their new head coach a year ago, Justin Fuentes, like what Mark Richt is doing at Miami, and he had a lot of young players, but You know, they had a little hiccup there in the middle of the season. Then they ran off, went on a nice run there at the end. So I think those teams are on the rise. But at the top, yeah, you're right. You are the national champions there at Clemson. And Florida State's always going to be in the mix. And they've got a big one starting off with Alabama. And we'll see what happens in that one. But to say you're the premier, based on the bowl record, I'm not so sure I can go with that.
Yeah, and I don't know what benefit there is truly to this conference dominance discussion. I mean, I guess as I'm thinking about it more on the fly here, where it helps is if there's a consensus of this is the best conference, it'll help you in the college football playoff committee discussion room where people will say, well, we got to give this team a little more respect because they're coming out of what we believe is the best conference. But, you know, it's not the LeVar Ball, Jimbo Fisher speaking it into existence if he just says it. But to me, it's not when guys start having this conference pride thing, to me, it never made that much sense to me. I mean, you hate everybody in your conference. You're supposed to. Like, unless you're trying to create an excuse about how we could have done this, we could have done that, but our regular season schedule was so tough that we've been held back because we have the best conference. I mean, you either make it excuses or you're trying to convince people you should be better than you are in the college football playoff standings. Outside of that, I think it's a meaningless conversation.
Well, that's why I think when you look at the SEC, and I'm not just saying this because I just left there, their media days, for the most part, you have a brutal schedule, and everyone points to the fact that they only play 8 conference games. Well, look at who they play in non-conference, and look at who they play in conference. It is tough. It is brutal. And Tennessee comes to mind, decimated with injuries a season ago. Ole Miss, the same thing, especially in their secondary, decimated with injuries. And so you know it's going to be a long haul, and I suspect that there will be at least – a number of teams this year with at least two or three losses because it's such a gauntlet to run in that conference. Of course, Alabama's going to be at the top, and then who falls below them? Week in, week out, it's a difficult conference to navigate. That's why you have to marvel at what Alabama's been able to do, their sustainability over the last 8-9 years with Nick Saban at the helm is phenomenal. So it's brutal. And Big Ten, you know, Ohio State's right there each and every year. In Michigan, if they can get past Ohio State, you know, maybe we'll talk about them a little bit more. But they're on the rise as well.
Coming up next, we've got some NBA to talk about. The management team of one of the worst-run franchises in the history of professional sports is in place. Will it be any different? It's Gio and Jones. We're coming right back. CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.